You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Captain, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the water, and I'd like to give you information, asking for me.
Is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like we lost Dave. So we're going to carry on. He probably had some... He's obviously having technical difficulties, but I think he had some ads. We'll probably roll those out towards the end of the hour. So we're going to jump right in with our guest. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Mr. Cruz, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's try to get Dave back here real quick. But why don't you, for the audience who aren't familiar with you, why don't you introduce yourself and where the story starts out?
My name is John Cruz. I was a senior vice president, business relationships with HSBC Bank. Mm-hmm. I am the person that knows all the fraud that has taken place at HSBC Bank, and it's still taking place at HSBC Bank.
Okay, and so...
This is about money laundering, terrorists, drugs, identity theft, using Americans' identities to launder money for campaign contributions, which is called bribes in the bank.
Now, how far back, when were you there, and how far back does this go?
I was there in January 2008.
Okay.
HSBC How far does HSBC Bank go back and forth? HSBC Bank is a blood bank. This is what they do for the life of the bank.
Well, why don't you tell us all about that? Tell us everything you know, because we are very, very interested, and this is perfect timing, because this is all the pieces are starting to fall into place.
Well, HSBC Bank for the life of the bank has always paid off politicians. For many, many decades, whenever you talk about HSBC Bank, the employees talk about lobbying money to campaigns for contributions and all. In the bank, we call it bribes. We always bribe politicians. I mean, all the way up to today, to the Clinton Foundation using HSBC Bank to launder money around the world, to their whole foundation, to paying off congressmen everywhere. It's just a money flow for the government. And when it comes to paying a fine, it's never paying a fine. It's stealing money from the shareholders, taking money from their income to pay the fines while the executives and all the individuals doing the crimes still get their money. Mm. And they don't get charged with the crimes.
So this has been going on for a while.
But this is the lifelong of the bank. Money talks. Right. Money pays off politicians. Politicians accept money. It's bribes.
Dave is
back. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, John, this is not an unusual occurrence, and I thought I was broadcasting live and just rambling away and going through our commercial spots, and our producer from Global Star gave me a call and says, Dave, we're not getting you. So are we surprised? Well, let me just put it this way. When we it's better than Ammon Bundy, because we were preparing to be the first non-mainstream interview for Ammon Bundy. And his communications went down. Both the satellites that broadcast our show went down, along with our listen by phone, and it couldn't even be archived. So, I guess I'm not surprised that this happens, but nonetheless, we've gone to communication mode number two, and we've survived. And I heard you talking basically about what happened with HSBC, John. And with regard to the fact, let me back up. I'm sure you gave the proper background. You were a vice president at HSBC. You uncovered all this corruption and so forth, and I'm sure you've kind of already been there with that. And I wanted to mention, too, John, to the listening audience, John's been a guest on my show. The first time, I believe, was in 2011, and then he was on in February of 2012 and made these revelations. And I'll tell you, a lot of people didn't want to believe it. They didn't think it was true. Well, John, people are singing a different tune today, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. Everything that I have said for years is all come true. I mean, I told law enforcement, I've told executives, everyone, that the bank will pay $2 billion fines. And what did they pay? $1.9 billion, plus they had to do some changes in everything in the system. And the changes that they're making in the system are not to protect people knowing the bank should do something right. The changes they're making in the bank are to protect the bank so no one can see them doing what they've been doing, so they can continue what they're doing.
Well, I remember you telling me that the auditors told you, if I remember correctly, that they had set aside $2 billion to pay fines just in case, so there's nothing you're going to do about it. Just go away and be quiet.
And that was in 2011, I told you that.
Yes.
And the end of 2012, what was their fine?
And now this just comes out, which I find unconscionable, but let's put it this, let's back up. HSBC, laundering money for the drug cartels. Do you remember which ones that they were involved? Was it Sinaloa's, Los Zetos?
HSBC Bank launders money for all cartels.
All right. Okay. That's pretty clear. And then also, I know from my research, and we didn't focus on that much when you were on earlier, but the there were terrorist groups involved too, weren't there? Hello, John. Did I lose you?
I'm here. No, I'm here. I missed part of what you said, so sorry.
Okay. But first of all, when you talk about the drug cartels, we know this today. The drug cartels and the terrorist groups are basically inbred, intermarried, whatever descriptive term you want to use. Did you know that terrorists were involved in money laundering operations as well, too, or HSBC was doing that for terrorist groups?
I know. I knew. I said they were. And it's already been proven that they're there doing it.
Mm-hmm. Do you know
they sponsored 9/11
which
terrorist?
Okay. Were there specific names? I doubt that you would have come across that when you went out and discovered these boiler room operations. But let's just suffice it to say, would you be surprised if the Muslim Brotherhood was involved? If Hezbollah and Hamas were involved, you wouldn't be surprised at that at all, would you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not one bit.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I don't know if you followed this or not, but just to show you how our government, and I want to kind of lay this as a foundation for where I know you're going to go, but we have an ISIS base camp 8 miles from El Paso, Texas, as discovered by Judicial Watch, Freedom of Information Act. We have an aerial photo that I've published on numerous occasions, and we have the Judicial Watch published documents that even specified specific targets. And it's a bomber runaway. We could napalm them into oblivion, and we don't. And then we let them come into our banks and do what they're doing. Let's kind of go back to the beginning, and I don't mean to repeat what you guys may have already got, but let's just go back. And what initially led you to believe that there was money laundering going on?
Corporations with hundreds of millions and billions of dollars going through their accounts, going to the corporation's address, and it did not exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't you physically go out and try to find these corporations and their locations?
I physically went to find them everywhere, hundreds of them. None existed. And Jerry Corsi from World Net Daily also tried to find them through phone numbers and everything of documents I gave him, and he could not find them.
My goodness. This is just amazing. Okay, so as you became satisfied that HSBC, the bank you're working for, and I got to imagine, you were probably concerned that you might get entangled in this web and get in trouble. I mean, were you concerned about your own legal status?
I was so concerned and so scared. It was a total nightmare to deal with that I just started recording everyone, employees, executives, law enforcement, Homeland Security, IRS, anybody and anyone I went to, I started recording.
And they probably started recording you, too, after you made your first allegation. Who did you go
to first?
They
started recording me first day I was visiting them.
I would imagine. Who did you go to first? Did you go to government or did you go to banking supervisors?
First, I went to a officer in charge, James Young. He referred me to senior security of HSBC Bank, George McFinger.
And I imagine they gave you the runaround, but what did they exactly tell you?
No, they didn't give me the runaround.
Oh, really?
They told me that this is fraud. George McFinger, I have on tape recording, on my CD, on my website, World Banking Raw Fraud. George McFinger states, this is how the bank makes money. I, as a senior executive officer of the bank, am only allowed to give 10% of what I find to law enforcement to purposely make it that they can't do nothing with it.
Wow. That is reminiscent of what someone who was caught with the Sinaloan drug trafficking gang in 2010, when they testified in federal district court in Chicago, they said only they had a deal with the Border Patrol, the FBI, and the DEA that they could only skim off 20% of seizures and 80% of the illegal cargo had to be let in. And this was also confirmed for me by an inside DEA source. It kind of seems like that's the MO here. You know, kind of give the wolves a little bit of what they want, but basically it's business as usual. Wow.
That's what they do.
Stunning revelation. So I imagine you didn't take that very well, so where did you go next?
I brought everything to law enforcement. I went to Suffolk County District Attorneys, Patrick Mulcahy, Jeremy Schleppi. I brought them documents. I brought them thousands of pages of documents. They reviewed them. They gave all this information to the district attorney who was in charge in Manhattan, Queens offices. The district attorney at that time was Loretta Lynch. Homeland Security had the documentation at that time in 2009, Frank DiGregorio.
So you're saying Loretta Lynch was in charge at the time that you delivered the proof of criminal activity?
Loretta Lynch was the first prosecutor handling the case from the very beginning when she was a prosecutor in Brooklyn, Queens.
Yeah, and
she's
and
the one who, in 2012, made up the $2 billion fine, $1.9 billion fine against HSBC Bank for breaking this Bank Secrecy Act violations. But they were never prosecuted for money laundering. They were never prosecuted for tax evasion. They were never prosecuted for using the American's identity to do all these illegal activities that they are still doing today.
So it's your assertion that HSBC is still laundering money?
Yes, they are.
Now,
they
since you're not employed
laundering money
by them, I would imagine you have sources on the inside that are telling you this?
I have sources everywhere.
Okay, fair enough. You sound like me sometimes when I'm on the side of the microphone. And I know exactly what you mean, and I'm assuming these sources are confidential.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. Their life wouldn't be worth a penny.
I get a little insight. Some of them still work. Some of them are law enforcement.
Can you tell us what agencies?
CIA, Homeland Security.
Yeah, CIA, now that's a little troubling. Now, we know they don't follow this, but they have a prohibition against operating domestically. So I don't know that they should have been involved in this unless the crimes were offshore.
These crimes go around the world.
Okay, all right. These, so you're saying that what you discovered was international, not just national.
No, this is a world crime. How does someone launder money when it comes to collecting money for arms? For Iran, you want to sell them weapons. So let's just say we're going to sell them a case of sneakers for $50 million when it's a case of M16s or it's a air-to-surface missiles or something like that. But you're stating it's a box of food. Put it all through HSBC Bank and let's go through customs. We'll pay off the customs. But we'll use the Americans' identity and use their identities around the world to have these money transactions take place.
I can see why I was disconnected at the beginning of this hour. The implications of this are staggering. You have a sitting attorney general who had documentation that you provided her office. Let me ask you this question, too. In front of her, she had the target, what you gave her. Money laundering,
yes,
and who's involved. But instead,
yes,
she took a left turn and went after HSBC for violation of bank secrecy laws. Why do you think,
yes,
she made that left turn and didn't take what you gave her?
Because there are so many big, powerful people being paid off. I mean, on my, even on my voice recordings, I have... Why I think there are so many reasons.
Why didn't she do anything, John? Why didn't she just ignore it all and just let it go away?
Because if you go ahead and you do the deferred prosecution and you say that everything's done and over with, then they can just continue moving on with their regular normal business and keep the money flow going through where they want it to go through, and people still can get paid,
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it keeps the media off their backside if they think the case is closed.
Yes, media. Let me put it this way. The media, Wall Street Journal, point blank, when I first came out with this, said, back off. CNN will not put me on the news. Big media.
Why do you,
don't,
John,
want,
why
to hear,
do you,
from,
suppose,
me,
that you were told by the mainstream media to back off and they ignore you? Are they complicit?
Because the government controls media.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
yeah,
can see,
well,
it today when it comes to our
concept,
own presidential election. They're trying to shut Trump up. They don't want him in, and they're doing everything they can to get Hillary Clinton put in, doing every illegal thing they can do to get her as president. And the only ones that are going to stop her are the American people.
Yeah, do we ever agree with you on that point? How close did you get to Loretta Lynch with your information? And I'm talking about first-person contact. Did you get to her
went
number
directly
one assistant?
All the way up
did
the chain to Eric Holder in the Department of Justice. The information was directly sent to her office from my attorneys, from Jeremy Shalepi, Patrick McKay, two district attorneys, who stated to me, which I have on voice recording also, that they sent this information directly to the prosecutor in New York City, which was her, the information I gave them.
This is unbelievable. I mean, it's believable, but it's just, it's staggering. I think that's a better descriptor. Well, I
my
asked
own
you this question before.
Go ahead.
I asked you, go ahead, John.
My own attorney, we had a meeting with the Senate Judiciary Committee with Congressman and all, Vitter, Grassley, Leahy. And my own attorney stated to Jason Forster there that this information that I gave everyone was a step-by-step instructions on how money gets laundered around the world. And still nothing has happened.
You know, I have to ask you this, and please don't misunderstand the question, but how is it that you're still alive?
I have a lot of tape recordings of individuals they don't want out.
And you let it be known that you had this leverage.
I've told it directly to every district attorney, everybody I spoke to. I have tape recordings, many, many. I gave Loretta Lynch 30 hours of tape recordings. I have recorders with 800 hours on them. There are a few recorders I have, and they're not in one place. And these are not on computers that they happen to all the time and try to erase and everything. These are put away, and certain individuals do have access to them just to make sure I am safe.
Hmm. This is amazing. Did you ever have, when you were going through this process and you started to become public, and you were very public with Jerry Corsi and when you came on my show the first time, did you have other people reach out to you and say, hey, I see the same thing?
Yes. Oh, yes, I have people all the time saying about their identities are stolen, money's being used across their names, hundreds and thousands, millions of dollars are being used in my name. What do I do? How do I get help? I had other individuals contact me saying, I worked at HSBC Bank. I've seen all you've seen after you were fired. Oh, my God, how did you ever live in this situation?
Interesting. When you bring up identity theft, my mind goes to the Russian mafia. Were they one of the groups that you uncovered in your investigation?
I could say yes and I could say no. I just seen a lot of money transactions around the world to a lot of countries, and the governments own the transactions that were taking place. They are in the banks doing the transactions. I mean, examples are, let's use Mexico as an example. Mexicans all run the banks, and they sit there and make up all these deposits in the banks so the boxes of cash could fit right in the windows. But how do you get that money around the world? From Mexico to the U.S. to Iran to Iraq, anywhere. You use the public's identity. You use corporation identities. I mean, example is, I had attorneys that had accounts in all over Manhattan, and all of their escrow accounts had sub-accounts linked to them in their customers' names. I mean, you got an attorney with 100,000 escrow accounts that they were never used, but there are accounts made up underneath those names that no one can see, and there's millions and billions of dollars of money being transferred through it.
This is... I'm thinking about my own situation whenever I've had legal dealings, and it almost seems like it's part of our jurisprudence that it's not uncommon if you want to set up a business arrangement, your lawyer will create fictitious, disregarded entities. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
Is this in part
I've not only
for
me was it I've seen
the
people
shell
do
game
it.
Of hiding the money?
Yes.
My goodness. I mean, and let me just make a disclaimer here, okay? Trust me, folks. I'm not involved in money laundering. I don't take drugs. I'm not involved in this at all. But it's interesting because when I set up my corporation, and I don't think my lawyer did anything wrong, and also, too, we have some trusts, some family trusts, and this term disregarded entity came up. And I'm thinking, well, what goes in it? Well, nothing, but in case you need it later. And now, if in case you need it later applies to HSBC Bank, and I would imagine this is how the corporations they dealt with transferred money was through these shell corporations. How close am I?
You're very close. The other things that are involved, like how would you like to be an employee at HSBC Bank, and you have to open a corporation account for a customer, and you're in New York, and you have to open an account over in, let's say, China or Hong Kong, and it would take you 3 to 5 days, if you're lucky, to get the account open. But you tell the customer, you know, why don't you go to Chase or Wells Fargo, another bank, Citibank, and have them open up an account overseas with HSBC Bank. It takes 15 minutes. And then HSBC gets your identity that way and uses your identity to launder money and say, well, we got your identity from Wells Fargo and another bank, so they're the ones who are liable for giving us your information to open an account for you, but I'm sorry if we opened 200 accounts in your name.
And you can't track all that.
No, you cannot. It looks like it's a legal system throughout the world because other banks are using HSBC, and HSBC is opening up the accounts for them because they got the information of the customer to open these illegal accounts.
I get it.
Including a business account in New York. Oh, we also opened it up in Iran. We also opened an account in China. We also opened it in Colombia so the money can flow.
Right. I get it, and they do.
You know what
this
the worst
like
thing about
me.
The whole situation is?
What's that?
My whole investigation of my whole business, my whole job, I'm reporting this, and I have it on tape. And this is a law enforcement district attorney telling me, you brought us the information. And it shows all the money laundering, all the drugs, and all and everything going on. So we have to investigate it. So we're going to take all this information, we're going to give it to the bank, and they'll tell us if it's really illegal or not.
The Fox
so the
is
bank comes back and says, oh, no, it's perfectly fine. Oh, okay, this guy must be lying.
Yeah, the fox is watching the hen house. John, I want to go back to something I just said earlier. When they use normal transactions, like for people like me, just as a matter of course of business, I think this is done because they create so much noise from innocent operations like mine that they can hide their illegal activities within the noise that they create. And I just think they make it seem like it's a part of normal business practice.
It's a total organization of crime that looks like a legal organization of transactions.
My goodness, this just gets curiouser and curiouser. Now, I want to go down an avenue here. I asked you a question, and I just need confirmation. Because I don't think you probably have a lot to tell me about him. But right before we came on the air, I asked you if you had heard of James Comey, the present FBI director, when he was on the board of HSBC.
Yes.
Yeah, you knew, you're aware of his name.
I'm aware of him.
Okay, now.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is long before the American public knew who this man was on a general nature because of his FBI position. But here's where I want to go with this next. Any indications at all, because we know Comey is linked to the Clinton Foundation, did you find any evidence a lot of this money was being siphoned off to Hillary and Bill Clinton's foundation?
Clooney controlled a lot of the stuff that was going on. He was the person on the board of directors of HSBC Bank. A lot of the money goes to the Clinton Foundation, even today. Seven organizations gave the Clintons millions and millions of dollars from terrorists. None of this has been investigated because Clooney won't investigate it because he's the one that's controlling me with the Clintons to make sure things flow smoothly.
Boy, that, if you ever needed any proof that the investigation of Hillary Clinton's email scandal was rigged from the beginning, you're hearing why right now, in this moment. Because if Clinton goes down, so does the Attorney General, and so does the FBI director. I mean, do you think that's a safe statement to make?
That's only part is going down. There's a lot more going down.
Well,
follow
I agree.
Follow the money
Eric,
and you will follow the criminals.
Okay, well, let's talk about, and by the way, I don't want to gloss over what you just said. It was extremely important that Comey controlled what was going on and terrorist money gets siphoned off to organizations like the Clinton Foundation. That is stunning, and you're aware of that in your role as VP at HSBC, and this is, well, I'm almost speechless at how high up this goes, but we've reached the level of the Attorney General and the FBI Director. Does it go higher in your estimation?
Yes.
Tell us about that, please.
Look to where HSBC launders money and pays campaign contributions. Now, HSBC, I would say, pays not just hundreds of millions of dollars. They pay a lot of money to money laundering. But if you knew how the transaction works, HSBC makes up a bogus corporation using the public identity, has millions of people. They take those corporations, and those corporations donate money to campaign contributions. So it doesn't look like it's coming from HSBC. It's coming from bogus corporations.
But in effect, we could accurately say that, because we know the Clinton Foundation money has illegally been used for her campaign. And I say illegally because it's got foreign contributions in it, and that's a felony. But we can legally, we can accurately say now that terrorist money and drug money is going are going into political campaigns like for Hillary Clinton.
Yes. She's already stated that she cannot control where the money comes from. She knows it's coming
in. Yeah, I heard her say that, just like she didn't know what happened with her emails. I mean, you know, same kind of
thing. She knows exactly where her emails, and her emails will come out. Someday, they're going to come out, maybe sooner than what people think.
Do you think this information is in her emails? Do you think there's a money trail there?
Oh, yes.
What makes you believe that, John?
Just knowing all that I know about transactions taking place, knowing how the money is all being siphoned into the Clinton Foundation and going to her, it's there. I know it deep down in my heart. I know how the transaction works. I know how the money flows. I know how to follow money. And it has to be there because there has to be a communication, and the only communications that would ever go through anywhere is through her private server.
Which is why she had to move a lot of this stuff off the books.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Katie, is that, I hear you breathing heavily at these revelations there. Is that you?
Is that me?
Okay. She might be a, no, it's not you.
Okay.
No. No, I'm not, but this is absolutely, my mouth is on the floor. I'm shaking.
This has been the most stunning 30 minutes of revelations of criminal activity I think we've ever had on this show, and we've had a lot. We've had an awful lot.
Wow.
I'm just trying to collect my thoughts here because, you know, I knew, let me put it this way, John, on my investigative end, I know about Lynch and her cover-up with HSBC, but until I had read it in print, I was unaware it happened with you, because when we did this, that part didn't come out. And then I found out about Comey and the Clinton Foundation and discovered he was on the board, and then I've been told some things from behind the scenes, confidential sources people, that I can't reveal their identity, and I knew we had a match on this end. But you're connecting what I know to be true on the inside. You're an insider. You have inside information.
Oh, yes, I know.
I got this as an outsider. John,
I'll let you know. I sent Donald Trump a CD, World Banking, WBWF Voices, Volume 1. Now, I put my CD on worldbankingworldfraud.com for sale to the public. This has congressmen on it, Senator Gershuk on it, IRS, Homeland Security, Treasury agents. It has 15 tracks, these individuals on it, uncut. I also sent Mr. Trump a CD of two senior bank executives talking about the $1.9 billion fine on how much they believe was going to presidential campaign. You know what that amount was out of that 1.9?
What was it?
$250 million, believe, went to the presidential campaign. Why would a fine go to presidential campaigns?
Because it's rigged?
Oh, it's so beyond rigged. Look at the Democratic Party, how rigged this campaign is.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you if you know about this. I wrote about this about 10 days ago. Stanford University did a study of the Democratic primary between Sanders and Clinton, and they found that the exit polls accurately reflected the results when paper ballots were used, but when the electronic machines were used, Clinton exceeded expectations by almost 10%. And in addition, the two top manufacturers of these voting machines are Clinton donators. Were you aware of that?
Yes. Yes, I'm aware of that, and yes, I do know. It is rigged.
You are describing to the very top levels of our government, two attorney generals, and I don't think we're done investigating, the FBI director, and all these banking officials, senators, congressmen, are all complicit in this. It's one big freaking mafia that we live under.
Yes.
Is it safe to say, from your perspective, organized crime is running the world?
Oh, yes. This is all totally organized crime. They have the bank to control the money. They have the power to do what they want. And they use our own military against us if something goes wrong. And if Clinton gets in power, she wants to take the guns away from people and do more illegal activities, more money laundering, more terrorists. Well, our world has never been so unsettled ever in history.
What do you think the future of people's bank accounts will be?
Future of people's bank accounts, if it keeps going the way it's going, there will be no bank accounts. The rich and powerful will have everything, and we will just live, period. We will be a world of slaves to our own government until there's a revolution.
This is why I have the advertisers I have. And I'm not trying to give a cheap plug here, but we advertise for precious metals. We advertise for storable food, because if your economy goes down, food's not going to move. We advertise for prepping supplies. This is why we do this, folks, because you're hearing here the system could go down. Do you think that when there is an economic collapse, and I don't think it's a matter of if, it's when, that all the surrounding support systems are going to go down with it for a while? And I'm talking about food shipment, food distribution, maintenance of essential services in society, ambulance, hospitals, police, fire. What's your judgment on this?
Our world is going to be in total chaos.
Uh-huh.
Goes down. And the way things are going, I don't know when, but someday it will. It is coming.
Well, a lot of people, and let's compare sources. I was talking to one of my insider sources, and probably the best one I have. And he said if there's an economic collapse, he expects 65 to 90 million Americans to die fairly quickly because of the spinoff results. And he thinks this could happen if the margin of victory in favor of Trump is so high that no amount of voter fraud can overcome it. What are you hearing from Scuttlebutt as far as bringing down the system from your end?
That's a very big question.
It is.
Bring a system. We can't vote for Hillary. I mean, oh my God, people, please, please. Total chaos is coming. We only have Hillary. We only have Trump. These are the people in it. Hillary is there because the government wants her there for their own benefits. Trump is there. Trump is there for Trump. He's there for the American people. And yes, he does not say the correct things. He's not a politician. He's a man who says what's on his mind. He says it the way he wants to say it. God bless him. Hillary Clinton says everything that she says in her speeches and all is all lies. It's all the things her husband says. It's all the things that Barack Obama said. It's all lies. Everything they said, nothing has come true. Stop big corporations from making all this big money. They've all said it. She's saying it. It's not done. She's been in the government for how many years? It's not done. You know, what kind of man, president, government official tells you have to have health insurance, and if you don't, we're going to fine you. But the executives, the big people in healthcare are going to make $50, $100, $150 million a year, all these executives, and they're going to pay my elected officials money. Hundreds of millions of dollars are going to go to the government for bribes. To make the American people, force them to have health care, to pay those executives that money so they can pay our government. What sense is that? I don't understand.
Just the point that our first hour guest, Gary Haven, one of the producers of Amerageddon, made last hour. We talked about this very same thing. It's incredible. To me, I don't see Trump. I see one of two things happening before the election, John. And I hate to be a pessimist, but from what you're describing, it's just reinforcing my feelings. I either see a Trump assassination, or I see a false flag attack upon this country so big that there's not an election. They can't let Trump win.
I believe you're right, and only time's going to tell, and we only have a few months to find out.
Well, you're right about that. I think maybe a little divine intervention is in order and collective prayer, because I think that's probably our best weapon at this point. But the reason that I think your story, many reasons why your story is important, but among the reasons your story is so important, John, is it reveals the absolute and holistic and pervasive criminal nature of the people who make decisions for us. There's just no way. Now, do you have any plans to come out with these recordings? Not your leverage recordings, but the ones that have already been made public to the attorneys, the district attorneys, and so forth?
I already have them on World Bank and WorldFraud.com. Made available
okay.
to the public.
Let's tell people how they can access this information.
People, go to WorldBankingWorldFraud.com. WBWF Voices, the actual live voice recordings of Homeland Security, IRS Treasury agents, congressmen, Senate Judiciary Committee, executives, employees, all talking how your identity is being used, how the money is being laundered. It's a total organization of crime. You'll be totally amazed when you listen to these recordings.
John, are there people listening to this show right now who would be having their name used on behalf of laundering this money?
I could say yes to any person within the United States, and I would say yes, your identity is being used. It is being used around the world to launder money for illegal purposes, to hurt you. It is there.
If
these voice recordings
are
very critical
that,
for you to listen to.
If it's being used to do that, if you're enough of a pain in the rear to them, couldn't they also use this to frame you in legal proceedings?
It's already happening. How would you like to be mom and dad? How's mom and dad work your whole lives, save you $100,000 to put their two children to college, only to have the IRS come knocking on their door to say their names were used to in transactions of $250 million, and the IRS now wants their tax money on $250 million. They seize your assets. They take your home. They take your car. They take your retirement. You have to hire lawyers and all, and you can't prove it because the bank has your identity. You went out there and you signed documents, and they have those documents for you to open an account somewhere, and they got a hold of it, those documents. This is what they do. They launder money in your name. They destroy your lives. I've had many people call me up about this, involving PayPal, involving American Express, involving credit cards everywhere, bank accounts. You could have a loan in your name for $5 million because an executive at HSBC decided he wanted to make an extra $5 million that week. So he put the loan in your name and kept the money. But he has your signatures on documents because you opened an account from Wells Fargo or from another bank, and they open an account because they have small fine print in their documents to do whatever they want in opening accounts for you. And we're not reading it because it is so much to read you can't read. It's made that you can't understand. This is our lives. Listen to the recordings, World Banking, World Fraud. It's all there.
World Banking, World Fraud. You also have a book that I know you've written.
Yes.
That I'm familiar with. Tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
My book is also online with the CD on worldbankingworldfraud.com. It's available as a Nook. It's available as a Kindle. The CD is available. It's on an MP3 player. There are 345 minutes of recordings on the CD. The book and the CD are both on the same website, worldbankingworldfraud.com.
In your estimation, should this have been enough to bring down this administration?
In my estimation, I had 1,000 times more the information needed to bring any bank down, any executive, any politician. there is so much information there that it is going to blow people's minds, what I have.
Just incredible. What's the closest to major mainstream media that your story has reached?
Tried to reach everyone. Main Street, WorldNet Daily. It's about
See,
it.
I can
everyone
see
else is just running away
side.
From it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
So when you say WorldNet Daily is as close to mainstream, that's not very close, John. They're more independent.
Not. No one wants to publish my story.
Yeah. I mean, what about your typical... I used to have a show like this in Arizona, a local single-city radio station. Have people interviewed you from these kinds of outlets?
I've been on with Joyce Riley. I've been on a couple of different small radio stations around the U.S. Yes, I have. But some radio stations that I have been on have been shut down within a day, even, of them airing my story.
My goodness. What about Coast to Coast?
Coast to Coast. I was on Coast to Coast, yes.
Yeah, I thought I remembered
that.
Got
a lot of interruptions with my broadcast.
Tell us what happened.
So it felt very odd when you had an interruption with this broadcast right at the beginning. I actually started laughing.
Well, Katie and I are veterans of this, and fortunately, the competent Global Star Radio Network always seems to come through for us and fix the problem. But we have been interfered with in the past, but I shouldn't have been surprised this happened here. But this is such an all-pervasive, stunning story. Let me ask you a question. Of the 50 governors, do you think all 50 governors know how corrupt this is?
I don't know. I can say yes, could say no. I don't know. But there is so much government corruption in this world. It's just like, how do you trust any politician today?
Yeah, it's,
what I would love to do, what I would love to know, what I would love to happen is for Donald Trump to take my CD and my book and put it into his campaign. And I would go on the air with him about this total corruption throughout our world, throughout our United States here, to promote it, let people know exactly what's going on with money laundering, terrorists. Clinton.
When did you make this available to Mr. Trump?
He just got it Friday.
Okay.
I hope he got it Friday.
John, I want to be optimistic. And first of all, you have my utmost respect for your efforts here. But I think if Trump were to touch this and start to make it public, he'd be dead by this weekend. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
We'll find out. I mean, we got to keep trying.
The world has to change. Yes.
You're right. The world has to change, and you absolutely did the right thing by forwarding this to Donald Trump. You know, I almost think you should send it to Clinton, too. Just to let her know, hey, you know, you may have escaped one scandal, but here's another, Hillary. Here's another.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to certainly pass this interview... excuse me, onto my colleagues in the independent media, and I know most of them pretty well, and let's see if we can't even generate more attention, because I thought your stuff was stunning 4 and 5 years ago. Now it's earth-shaking. I mean we got Al Capone running the government. Let me ask you this: can we reach President Obama with this scandal? Does it reach to him?
I haven't been able to get it to anybody who would listen to me. He won't touch it.
Do you think he knows? But do you think he knows about it?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And
he's
the
one who put Loretta Lynch in the office.
There you go. And during the confirmation hearing for Loretta Lynch as AG, HSBC banking scandal came up, and C-SPAN refused to cover it. Wasn't that coincidental?
Wasn't coincidental. It was purposely done.
Oh, yeah. Listen, John, I couldn't agree with you more. It was intentional. But it just goes to show you the depth of how far these people will go in terms of how they're going to obscure the facts. God help us. I mean, let me tell you something I read just today, an independent tax analysis of Clinton's proposed plans that have been leaked. Some of them she's tried to keep under wraps, and one of them she tried to keep under wraps that's come out is she plans to impose carbon taxes on the American people. And I wrote an article about this on thecommonsenseshow.com today. Carbon taxes will tax you for every little energy that you use. And this will give these banks, these government officials, will be so paralyzed, John, that these people will have absolute and complete control over us.
Yes, they will. That's the plan.
When I read her carbon tax proposal, I'm thinking, I won't even afford to go take my show on the air. I won't be able to afford to have a website simply because of the energy usage would just tear me up. And this is ultimately where this is all headed. A lot of people don't realize that. John, we're coming towards the end here. I wondered if you'd like to kind of encapsulate everything that we've done into a takeaway message for the listening audience.
Well, everyone, your identity is being used to money laundering, tax evasion, identity theft. Your identity is being used paying off politicians, our government. Listen to the voice recordings. Read the book, worldbankingworldfraud.com. This is only volume one. Volume two is being prepared.
And earlier I had asked you a question because there's strength in numbers, and I know you know that. Have you had any notions of working collaboratively with other people who know what you know?
Yes.
So
I work with
kind of
many people that know exactly what I know.
Okay. So I guess what I'm asking here is this. Is there a sort of justice league that is forming, so your voice won't be the only voice out there in the wilderness, that you'll have a chorus of voices backing up what you're saying?
It's being done, but it is hard with all the resilience we have against us. A whistleblower is like the worst person in the world to a politician, to an executive. No one wants to know them because they know the inside truth. As I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how has this affected you in your private life? I mean, have you had trouble finding and keeping employment with regard to this swirling around you?
It's a totally different life. It's a life no one wants. It's always looking over your shoulder. It's always trying to make a decent income. It's not a good life. But you know, you go with it and you keep doing what you have to do.
If you had this to do over again, would you have just quit and walked away without taking on the system?
Knowing what I know now, no. I still do it. I do it differently, but I would still do it.
Well, I'm hopeful that Donald Trump's people will look at what you've given them, and if they can't come out in mass, they don't feel it's politically prudent, but if they might find some silver bullets to come out that they could use against Clinton, then you've already done more than what your country could have ever expected you to do. And you already have anyway. You've already done more and gone way above and beyond. What's next for you, John?
What do you mean by next for me? Next as far as what's going on, what I'm doing right now?
I mean, in terms of your efforts to reach a larger audience, in terms of bringing more material out, you mentioned that you've got a second CD set coming out with recordings. Do you have any other plans?
I have many plans. I'm going to be publicly known.
Okay.
Trump may not have a choice but to use this information.
Well, that's good to know, and I want to publicly.
There will be banners and flyers and everything. I have people ready to go, printing thousands, and thousands, leaving millions of flyers to put out at campaigns, at rallies. There's going to be thousands of CDs given out at rallies.
That is really good to hear.
This is only the beginning. We will not stop. And when I say we, I have many people behind me. They want to bring 100,000 CDs to a rally and just give them out so people can listen to the CDs. They want to bring hundreds and thousands of posters and banners and just put them on people's cars, give it to them hand in hand in person so this is seen. So when you say Trump may not be able to use this, well, he may not have a choice.
Well, first of all, I just got to say that if Trump doesn't use at least silver bullets from this, I think he's missing a great and golden opportunity. And, John, I have to tell you, you probably have more courage than anybody that we've ever interviewed on this show because you have so much still at risk. And for you to endure this kind of stress for this many years is unbelievable. I don't know how you do it. But we're just about out of time for this segment. I want to thank you for coming on. But as things unfold, and as things develop and you start making more progress, I want you to feel free to come back on. And I want to thank our mutual friend, Fran Davis, for reaching out to me because I had mentioned you in an article that I had written. And Fran reached out and says, would you like to have John back on your show? And I said, oh, that'd be awesome. And so I want to thank Fran for having you on. And I want to thank you for what you're doing, first of all. And secondly, I want to thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Okay, John, I will be in touch, and we're going to follow what you're doing closely, and I'm certain that this is one of many interviews that's going to come up between now and the election. Thanks so much, John.
You're awesome. Yes, thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Katie, do you have any oxygen? Because I think I'm short of breath.
Well, thank goodness. We only have about 30 seconds left, so that's we can catch our breath in the break. That was amazing. You know, we'll have to digest that in the after the health report. We got 10 seconds left, so
yeah,
let's catch our breath.
That's good. You know what? Thank you. We'll let that take us to break. We'll see everybody in hour number 3. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay tuned.